Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, and I am here today at the Olive Garden in Augusta with Beverly Cooper Pete, and we're going to hear today about what she believes and why she's running for governor. Hi, Beverly. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so very much for asking me to interview with you. And I always say it as my opening statement that anytime someone wants my opinion, I feel very honored. Very, very honored.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to meet you. Can you tell me, Beverly? I ask this of everybody. Why do I want to vote for Beverly Cooper Pete?
You want to vote for me because, as someone stated yesterday, which again I feel honored, I believe I am a visionary, and I believe that in order for Maine to move forward, we have to have a vision for the state of Maine and for its people, and I am a visionary. I see Maine being a model state, the number one state in America. I don't see Maine as being the third or the fourth or the fifth. I don't see Maine having problems, having other people come, businesses. I see Maine as a state that's full of life and vigor and prosperous, and its citizens prosperous not only physically but mentally as well.
And you think you can do that as governor?
Yes, visionaries can do that.
Wonderful. Yes. So, tell me what's in your vision.
Well, let me tell you one of the challenges first that I think that we're having. Again, I think that we are a separate state, meaning that we view the North as like our stepchild, and we need to stop that. No, literally, I think so. And I think we need to stop this Democrat-Republican separation, as we had spoken about earlier, and come together as one. Can we be individuals? Yes, we can be individuals, but individuals with a common vision, a common goal, and that is to propel Maine to be the best state that it can be. So the question is, how do I propose to do that? Well, number one, I think, again, we need to change our mindset. That's one of the biggest issues I think we face today, is having a mindset of poor me or gimme, gimme, gimme. We are a poverty spirit-filled state. Mm-hmm. And until we change our mindset, until we can see ourselves differently, not one of us, not two of us, but each of us collectively, then we'll continue to be that way. And if one of us fails, all of us fail. And the question's been asked, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. You are. Because think about it this way. If you don't have good health care, and something happens to you, and you can't afford to be hospitalized, and you are hospitalized, that comes out of my tax dollars. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, it's coming out of my pocket. But had we helped you in the beginning to get affordable health care, had we helped you in the beginning to train you how to take care of yourself, preventiveness, perhaps you wouldn't have had that huge emergency, and I wouldn't have to pay $100,000. Maybe I had only paid $2,000.
Right.
To develop what I'm saying. So yeah. It kind of balances up like that.
For the wellness.
For the wellness, that's right. But one of the things that I also think is that, you know, even though we are the producers of lobster, which is fantastic, blueberries, potatoes, and toothpicks, and supposedly we're the vacation land, those are the only things that I know thus far that really brings us residual income. We need to be a state that is more of producers than consumers. Right now we are probably, 80% consumers and 20% producers. That's asinine. Look at Maine. Look at Maine's jewels, and that means her people. You asked me, and I've been up north. I've not spent a lot of time up there, but I have been up there, and the people that I met are geniuses. We overlook our people. We're so caught up in, oh, let's do technology. Let's spend our resources on research. Let's be the first to do this. When we need to say, you know what? Up north, there's a guy there that probably could figure out how to turn maybe fossil... I lost my train.
Biomass?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Into what? Energy and gas. Probably just tinkering around in his little garage, but we overlook people like that because we think they're not significant because they're up north and maybe they only have an 11th grade education. But do you know Ford only had a second grade education, and look what he did.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yes, yes. So one of the things that I'm proposing is called, I think what we need to do is concentrate on being a healthcare training facility hub, meaning that because of what's happening down in the healthcare training area, we can start training people to go into that field, and we could be like the Silicon Valley of healthcare training, right?
Right.
Which means that people would come from all over America to train at our facility and eventually the world, which means that the businesses that are only open quarterly would be open year-round, which means means digital income in our pockets, which means, guess what? Our taxes would go down.
Well, how do we get to that? How do we get to that point?
So here's how I could start out. Now, I don't have all the answers as to how we can do it, but this is what I see. Mm-hmm. So let's just say that we got together and we said, okay, we're going to, let's just use the Naval Air Station, because there's tons of space still available there. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, we're going to take out, let's say, 20 acres of that. And then maybe we're going to use the facility that they use for their commissary or for their hospital there. Mm-hmm. One of the two. And so what we started doing is we started calling different companies that manufacture, like, X-ray machines, the CAT scan machines, so forth and so forth. And you say to them, you know, we're going to be building a healthcare training facility. Now, mind you, we're not paying for this equipment, because I know that's where the question is, where we're going to get the money, but we're not paying for the equipment. They're going to bring their equipment to our facility so that we can showcase it. And they're also going to bring someone there to train the people that come to our school how to utilize the equipment. It's not going to cost us anything.
Right.
And then what will happen is the person that was trained on the equipment will say, okay, I learned how to use this equipment, and when they graduate, let's just say they go to a nice hospital or wherever it is that they want to find a job, and they'll say, well, what equipment do you know about? Oh, I know about the Michelle MIR machine, or I know about the Michelle CAT scan machine. Well, where did you learn that? Oh, in the state of Maine. So then, of course, they'll call up Maine and ask us who manufactured that, and then they'll call that manufacturing company and purchase those machines, because Michelle, number one, put her stamp of approval on it. Number two, Michelle knows how to run it, and Michelle can train the other people that's in her new office. And all we've done is provided the shell, the space.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we're never.
And the invitation.
That's it. And before you know it, people start saying, oh, I'm going to Maine. Then the people who have hotels and motels and mm-hmm. ma and pa, this will have.
They've got business again.
Exactly, exactly. Our transportation system will increase. And the more we increase with residual income from the state of Maine, that means our taxes will go down. And the people who are spending, as they say, so much money on just their property taxes could be nil and null. You know, eventually, I want to get us to the point where we don't have to pay any taxes on our property, because we have so much overflow in our state funding. That is a possibility, mm-hmm. and that can manifest. That can happen. The second initiative. I don't know if you are familiar with this, and I stand to be corrected on the numbers, but we do trading with Japan and Korea. And I don't think that the money that we trade with them is probably over $2 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
But because I have worked and trained in both Korea and Japan as an ESL instructor, which is English as a second language, and I've also gone over there and worked on a couple of curriculums, I know for a fact they pay a lot of money to have us as American teachers to go over and train their teachers or to work in their school systems as English as a second language teacher. So why can we not, in the state of Maine, create an atmosphere, create a school where we are, again, Silicon Valley for ESL, and train their teachers? And say, well, why don't you send your teachers here? It's less expensive. And for those who want to learn that trade, bring them here. And you can learn to teach ESL 3 months, 6 months, sometimes a year, of course, but you can do it as short as 3 months and get a certificate.
And then we become the mecca for that.
There you go. Okay. That's the second initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful. And it's year-round. And again, it's about being producers. It's about residual income so that we, the state of Maine, can start being prosperous. Third thing, okay, are we not supposedly the vacation land of them all? Well, half the people in the world don't even know about Maine and all of our beautiful mountains and our pristine oceans and
they
things
go,
of that nature.
Oh, yeah, Maine. It's cold there, right?
Exactly. So we, again, have been bullwinked, shall I say. So why not start promoting Maine? If we're going to do that, then why not become the Silicon Valley hub for hospitality? Another good school industry. And when we do it, let's do it all out. Ski resorts, wonderful hotels. I don't know if you've ever been to the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
but if you've ever been to the Caribbean and have them, they actually go to school for that,
mm-hmm.
for business, hospitality etiquette. We can do the same and be better at it. Because when you're there, I mean, you don't mind giving them a $20, $30 tip because they make you feel like you're a queen sheba.
Right, and that's why you're there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we can twin that. And my thing is, why reinvent the wheel? Let's just learn from them. Let's just twin what they're doing and do it better. Why not? Those are my three initiatives. You know, and I know the jobs are important, so I'll do you one better than that. A couple of months ago, the town of Brunswick, which I thought was very smart, I think the guy's name is Steve, I won't say his last name, but he's part of the development fund there. And he said what they did was they did a lot of research. I'm sure they went to a lot of cocktail parties, went to a lot of the various chambers of commerce in different states, and they sought out companies as the company was seeking them as well. Excuse me, for companies to come and do business here, but he said it wasn't like we just picked up the phone and said, oh, let's just call this company. It was a lot of networking, a lot of hard work. So it's, I think it's Castrol Aircraft will be coming to, as you know, Maine, and they are an aircraft company, so they're going to be building little planes. They've guaranteed the state of Maine 300 jobs. 250 of those jobs are non-engineering jobs, but it's still going to be good pay. I think it's wonderful. I think we can twin them. The only thing that I would have to say about that is, what if in 5 years they took their Tico toys and went home? We don't own it. We have no stock in it. So that's the only... And I'm not being
the
negative.
Downside.
Yeah. So while that's good, let's go ahead and twin and get maybe 10 other companies like that, but let's not let that be our dependency again, because then we're back in the same boat.
Right.
It's kind of like, let's just say that you gave five people $10 million, and they've never been anywhere, they've never done anything, they have lost all hope. In less than 5 years, they would have lost all that money. Same way with Maine. Same way. If we don't change our mindset, if we don't change the way we are thinking, we're going to be in the same boat again. Forget America. It's about what's happening in the state of Maine and the mentality that we have in the state of Maine. Now, as far as this gubernatorial race is going, I haven't heard any solutions. You know, I don't want to keep hearing the same thing. You tell me that we're going to create jobs, but you haven't told me how or what. One other thing that I want to interject here as well, we talk about welfare reform. What does that really mean? For me, it means let's end it, period. And I'm not talking about the ones who are have disabilities. I'm talking about the ones who are healthy and strong and that can work. Even if you're in a wheelchair, you can work. If nothing's wrong with your mind, you can still work.
Right.
So I propose this. One of the challenges that people have is they don't want to be on a job. I don't blame them because I don't want to be on a job either. I want work. There's a difference. And my saying is, a job provides a paycheck, but my sister, work releases potential. All the potential that's in you, that's what work does, because you're doing what you were born and gifted to do. And when you do that, you begin to realize who you truly are and what you can truly do. And not even the sky is the limit. But people say, oh, you walk around with your rose-colored glasses on. I sure do. Otherwise, I'd be blind like you if I didn't. With no vision. No, think about it.
Yeah.
People are tired, Michelle.
Yeah.
People are fed up, and we're so busy saying I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. Hell, you need to figure out whose side you're on. You're on the dark side or the light side. There's no in between. And we need to stop hissing, putting around, you know what I want to say, and say, you know what, I'm going to stand for what's right. And what's right is we're not going to let the kids here in our own state suffer and be on crack, breaking into people's homes. You never heard of that kind of stuff happening here 12 to 15 years ago? Something's wrong, Michelle. We are not listening. And we're so busy trying to be politically correct that we've missed the boat. And you know what my friend used to say? Miss P, it's not going to be about black and white. It's going to be the haves and the have-nots. Have we got to that point? We don't even have enough sense in us to even be racist in Maine. We've lost our sense of being human. Not all of us, but I'm just saying it only takes one or two. So let's not even get to that point. And I'm all off track, but I'm just so
it's
passionate
fine.
About us having a... Here again, it goes back to having a vision.